Good morning, everybody. Sure good to be with you on this beautiful Lord's Day. Please have your Bibles open to 2 Peter chapter 3. I got a pop quiz for you. Just very quickly. Pop quiz. What is the opposite of being lost? What's the opposite of perishing? If you said being saved, No, I cheated on you, because that is the opposite in some contexts, but not this one. The opposite of perishing in this context is reaching repentance. Listen to the way Peter says it in 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, and here comes the contrast, but that all should reach repentance. Interesting. So very interesting to me. Right where you would expect Peter to say, God doesn't want anyone to perish, He wants people to be saved. God doesn't want anybody to be lost, He wants people to go to heaven. And yet the way it's said by the Holy Spirit is that we reach repentance. What a powerful way of indicating the necessity of preaching repentance. Well, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the sermon as far as the facet that I want to expound upon this morning. But it does have everything to do with repentance. Turn in your Bibles now to Romans chapter 6. And we're going to conclude our sermon series this morning on repentance. Preached a couple of sermons in April, and we encourage you to go back and listen to those if you haven't heard those already. Not that this lesson needs those to be propped up. It'll stand on its own, I'm sure. But there are some building blocks about repentance being a message of grace. Repentance being a message of God's love. God is reaching out His hand as a parent saying, I don't want you to die. I want you to turn. And then we talked about there being not any substitute for repentance. We can't say that we're sorry as a substitute. We can't say that we're baptized as a substitute. We can't say anything. There's no substitute for a changed life. And then this morning we talked and we challenged ourselves about how we confess our sins. This morning, in this lesson, it's called Repentance, a Crucifixion of Self. And then our subheading is this. Here's our challenge. Here's the whole lesson in a nutshell. Is this what repentance is for us? Do we teach it this, can I say it this way? Do we teach it this violently? I'm not talking about violence in a sense of, you know, we're wanting to harm people or physical violence, but we really want to do the old man of sin harm spiritually. We want to kill him. We want to slaughter him. Yea, we want to crucify the old man of sin. Well, let's begin. We often go to Romans chapter 6 to emphasize baptism. And perhaps there's no better passage to indicate the necessity of baptism than this one. We do that for good cause. If you want the benefits of Christ's death, you must be baptized. If you want the benefit of Christ's death, you must be baptized, because that's where baptism is into. Read the first three verses. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? There it is. Baptism is into the death of Jesus Christ. If you want the benefits of His death, the benefits of His blood, then be baptized where you need to be baptized. But here's our question. Drop down to verse 5. If we were united with Him in a death like His. Now just stop right there at the beginning part of verse 5. If we were united with Him in a crucifixion like Jesus Christ. Well, when did that happen? When did what I do imitate the crucifixion? So let's go slow. I'm going to do my best to slow down. I'm bad at this, I know. But up on the board here, we have the basics of the gospel. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus was buried. Jesus was resurrected. And what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 6 is that we imitate all three of those things. How do we imitate his burial? Well, look at verse 4. We're buried in water in baptism. Verse 4 says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism. Okay, there it is. In simple language. We are imitating, I point to this body of water, but not that it needs to be this body of water, any body of water. We're buried with Jesus in baptism, or we imitate his burial when we're buried in water, so that then we could be raised from that water in newness of life. Read the last part of verse 4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Does everyone see the board? There's a hole missing. I know when we're buried in baptism. And I know when we're resurrected from baptism in newness of life. I'm asking the question, when did whatever I did imitate the crucifixion? What are we doing that unites us in a death like that crucifixion of Jesus Christ? And the answer is in verse 6. The old self is crucified. Look at verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that you would no longer be enslaved to sin. But here's what we do. I'm going to take that off. I think this is what we preach. Not that it's wrong. It's right. It's all in verse 4. But when we come to Romans chapter 6, are we just emphasizing that? Or do we get around to talking about the old self being crucified? United with him in crucifixion, a death like his. And here's the problem. We may be baptizing the uncrucified. I know I've done that. I can give you a couple of instances up in Prescott specifically where I had some conversations with people that came into my office or whatever, wanted to be baptized, and we baptized them, and we never saw them again. I did that. Now, what can you do in a situation like that? You don't know people's hearts and whatnot, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can emphasize verse 6. And you can tell people, look, the only people who are buried in water, the only people who get buried are the crucified. Is that you? Don't get baptized. You don't hear this from preachers very often, but I'm being as deadly serious as I possibly can be. Do not be baptized if you're not a crucified person. You baptize the dead. You bury the dead, not the alive. And is it possible, beloved? Please take this with a grain of salt. Is it possible? Please take it from a message of love, because that's where it's coming from. Is it possible that we've overemphasized baptism and underemphasized the crucifixion of our old self? Someone said to me after the last two sermons in April, they said, you know, the hardest thing about conversion, there's repentance. And then they added, there's not a close second. It is the hardest thing to do. And I could not agree with that person more. In fact, can we just flesh that out for a second? Keeping with the analogy that's up on the board, let me ask you this. And I just want you to think physically only. Is it easier to bury a dead body or to find somebody that's alive that's willing to be physically crucified? I see a few of you smiling. I'm glad you think it's funny too. That's laughable. You have a dead body in a coffin. You ever seen a dead body argue about being buried? I don't want to be put in that ground. I don't want to be 6 feet under. I'm claustrophobic. But if you walked up to people who are alive and said, would you like to be physically crucified? Is that the form of death that you'd like to go through? Who would say yes to that? It would be a lot easier to bury a dead body than find somebody who's alive that's willing to be crucified. Now, let's make a spiritual application. It's so obvious in the physical realm. But when it comes to the spiritual, we seem to be emphasizing the easier, which is burial in water, than the harder, which is crucifixion of self. But when you examine the preaching of Jesus Christ, which of those do you see Jesus emphasizing? Did Jesus go around from town to town preaching baptism? Now, somebody might say, well, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ didn't start until his ascension in Acts chapter 2. That's true. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ started there in Acts 2 verse 38. But John's baptism was around. And we do read about in John 3 and John 4, Jesus and his disciples were baptizing people, specifically Jesus' disciples. In fact, it got the attention of John's disciples so much they said, everyone's going after Jesus. Don't you see how many people he's baptizing? You know, you got a chart. John's got 100 baptisms and Jesus and his disciples got 200. You see everyone's going after Jesus? And that's when John said, he must increase. And I must decrease. So Jesus and his disciples did baptize into John's baptism. So let's just examine the teaching of Jesus without just remembering in the back of your mind, please, because we're going to get to other things. Did he go from town to town to town saying, you got to be baptized into John's baptism, you got to be baptized into John's baptism, you got to be buried in John's baptism? Or did Jesus go from town to town preaching, you got to deny yourself, you got to take up your cross, you got to be willing to give up everything to follow me? And what I'm saying is that falls under the heading of crucifixion of self. And if anybody is willing to be truly crucified to themselves, they ought to be running to any body of water they can find. Can I go back and emphasize baptism just for a second? If you've crucified self, you need to run to any body of water you can find, because crucifixion of self doesn't get the job done. You got to bury and then let God raise you in newness. And that's what gets the job done. But you bury the crucified. You bury the crucified. Go to Galatians chapter 2 with me, please. Galatians chapter 2. You ever read passages like Romans chapter 6 or Galatians chapter 2? And it sounds so past tense to Paul in some of the passages. And you think to yourself, has anyone been discouraged like this? You read a passage that talks about crucified the old man, and you think, wow, I'm still dealing with that. Look at verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2. Very popular verse. I'm sure most of us have it all memorized. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the first words there. I've been crucified, past tense. And it sounds like it's 100% done. And isn't that the way I just preached it? You know, you crucify the old man, and then you bury the crucified in baptism. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Again, he's going to use this past tense word in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified, or have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So I look at that sometimes and I think, I'm still crucifying. And if you've ever sensed that discouragement in yourself, I want you to see a verse that indicates, yes, you've crucified, and yes, we Christians are still crucifying. Go to Colossians, just a few books over. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, we'll begin. He says then, in verse 1 of Colossians 3, if you've been raised with Christ. Okay, we just talked about that from Romans 6. Basically, what he's saying is, if you've been baptized, if you've been buried with Christ, and then raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And then he says in verse 3, just skip down to verse 3, you have died. Oh man, I thought you were going to tell us a present tense. But now note verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Wait a minute, who's he talking to? He just said in verse 1, it's Christians. It's people who were buried with Christ. It's people who were raised with Christ. And yet this battle We crucified the old man, but listen, we crucify the old man. You see what I'm saying? We crucified him, her, and we crucify. And doesn't this fit the preaching of Jesus Christ? In Luke 9, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross. How often? Daily. Every day. Well, Jesus, if we're going to crucify ourselves, why do we got to do it every day? Because it's past tense and it's present tense. You remember what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? I die every day. I die every day. Crucified? Yes. But this is a battle for Christians. And I would put it like this. Repentance is not a message for just the outsiders. Repentance is a message for the church. As we crucify and we put to death the deeds of the body. Now you might be asking this, and I hope you are, because it's so tough. Has anyone ever asked themselves, it seems so difficult to kick sin. My earthly desires, my earthly lusts, my earthly passions seem so strong. How can I get the job done? And Paul is going to give us the secret in the book of Romans. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 7. And before we look at the secret in Romans 8, I want you to see that this was an ongoing struggle with Paul. Paul is going to say, I've got this battle between flesh and spirit going inside of me, and sometimes I do the things of the flesh. I do the things I don't want to do. My mind is going in one direction, and my flesh is going in another. Look at verse 15, Romans 7, verse 15. I do not understand my own actions. You ever felt like that? I want to get the job done, but it doesn't seem like I'm getting the job done. I don't understand my own actions. The thing, I do not do what I want. I do the very thing I hate. Look at verses 18 and 19, same chapter. I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Not the ability? Hyperbole, obviously. But you know how Alan would encourage somebody like this? If somebody sat down and said, Alan, I just feel like I can't carry it out. You know what I'd say? Probably. Like, don't do the things you don't want to do and do the things you want to do. Just get it done. Get it done already. And Paul's saying, Alan, I'm trying. Look at verse 19. I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. And listen to me, beloved. Every single one of us feels like that from time to time. If you're saying to yourself, I don't feel like that, you're a Pharisee in disguise. And you can lie to me and you can lie to yourself even, but you can't lie to God. Everybody feels like that from time to time. It seems like I'm losing the war to my flesh. So how can we get it done? Look at Romans 8, verse 13. Here's how we get the job done. God's Spirit gets it done. Romans 8, verse 13 says this, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. By what? How are you putting to death the deeds of the body? By the Spirit. By God's Spirit. Oh, Alan's a Calvinist. No, I'm not. You see, the Calvinists believe that God gets inside of you and like forces you to repent, forces you to do good. That's not what I'm saying. But on the other hand, beloved, I think we underemphasize the strength and the power that God's Spirit gets inside of us and helps us with. There is a sense in which I can't, but God's Spirit can help me do it. By God's Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. Now, we might preach a whole sermon or argue about, well, how does that get done? How does God's Spirit get inside of me and work on me? Well, I know at least one way is through the Spirit. When I ingest myself with God's Spirit is helping me, strengthening me to put to death the things that I'm an addict to. We're all addicts of sin, and we can't get it done without the help of God's Spirit. But you know, here's the shame of it all, is that oftentimes we feed ourselves everything that has to do with our earthly passions, right? We have friends that do nothing but encourage our earthly passions. We have struggles with money and materialism that do nothing but feed our earthly passions. We listen to music sometimes. We listen to TV shows. We go to movies that do nothing but encourage our earthly passions. Rather than feeding ourselves, He who can help, God's Spirit. You've got to feed yourself what can help you get the job done. Morning, afternoon, evening, while you're driving, and surround yourself with people who are feeding on God's Spirit. And slowly but surely, we will put to death the deeds of the body. Well, how do I know when the job is getting done? We don't love tests, but we love tests. Because at least it gives us a barometer, right? When you were in school, if the teacher had said, I am never giving you a test, I am never grading any homework, I am never grading any in-class assignments, you are only going to know what your grade is at the very, very end when it's too late. Would anyone like that? We like a barometer to see where we're at, see if we've got a passing grade. And this question is kind of a barometer. How do we know that we're getting the job done? Well, the question is actually very easy. You heard the scripture reading, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And if you just put those on a page and ask yourself, which one is my life being characterized under? You're going to find out quick, fast, and in a hurry whether the old self is being crucified. But I think there's a better answer. Turn with me to the Galatians 6, and we'll draw our lesson to a close. Galatians chapter 6. Here's the answer. When the world sees me as dead to them. Now notice the way I worded that. And read with me Galatians 6, verse 14. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm never going to boast about anything. My morals, my church going, what I say, how many songs I sing. I am never going to boast except anything by anything except that I was died for. I hope that's your attitude. By which, last part of verse 14, the world has been crucified to me. Okay, stop right there. The world has been crucified. So as you get addicted to the cross, the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, the world becomes unattractive. Worldliness and ungodliness, and those things don't, they lose their attraction. They're being crucified to me. Comma, and I to the world. The world says about us, they are dead to me. Let's literalize this for a second and see if we can get the power of this. You know, we talked a little earlier, at least we hinted at Luke chapter 9 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Jesus said, you gotta take up your cross daily. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I die every day. So we take up the cross whether we want to or not, every single day, 7 days a week, and we crucify self. But now listen. The world takes up a cross. Huh? The world takes up a cross, and you might say, well, hey world, what's the cross for? This is for Alan. He's dead to us. Hey world, what's the cross for? This is for Chuck. This is for Daisy. They're dead to us. The world not only loses its attraction, but you you become unattractive to the world. I have got enough experience with worldliness to know that when I got serious about my faith, every single time, by the grace of God, the world made it very plain, we don't want to have anything to do with you. And anyone in this room that's got experience with worldliness knows I've lost friends every single time I came out of worldliness by the grace of God. Which wasn't my loss at all, if you know what I'm saying. But that's when you start to realize, okay, so something correct is happening. When the world doesn't want to be around you anymore. Because what your actions are highlighting is their lost condition. Please get out your songbooks and turn to the Song of Invitation. I promise I'm done with repentance, preaching on repentance for the rest of the month of May. I don't preach again this month, so that's not much of a promise, but we are done with our short series on repentance. I hope that repentance, crucifying ourselves, is a deep-rooted part, not only of our conversion, but every day in our discipleship. Jesus said, going back to this last point, Jesus told his apostles, he said, the world would accept you if you were of them. But as it is, you're not. And he said, when you get mistreated, when they shamefully treat you, you just remember, they did it to me first. And may that be a comfort to us all as we live in such a different sort of way. If you've crucified the old self, find a body of water and be buried. And let God raise you in newness of life. Will you come? Together we stand and sing.